Well, I told you that tonight I was going to preach a message called Poor Jabez. So I'm going to ask you to go ahead and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Verses 9 through 10. Just when you get it, look this way. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Let's read the Word of God. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. Let's pray. Father, I come to you tonight. And Lord, I cannot deliver this message, Lord, without your assistance, without your divine enablement, Lord. God, I pray that I would not leave anyone in confusion, but that your Spirit would speak. I pray for your anointing, Lord, upon this word, that you would make it clear, Lord, what you're speaking to your people, what you're speaking to the church, what the invitation is tonight, what the word is to your people tonight, what you desire to say to us. God, make it clear. Take away our complacency. Take away pop Christianity. Take away the fluff and take away the fads. Lord God, and leave us with radical, sacrificial love for you. And I ask, Lord, that you do this even more in my own life. That you do it in the lives of those who are gathered here tonight. Lord, that you might have vessels that burn brightly. Have your way here tonight, Lord. We honor you, we glorify you, and we seek nothing more than your perfect will and your word and in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know when I announced that I was going to preach this message, some of you are familiar and some are not. I wasn't even going to mention it tonight, and I just thought that I would say, as a disclaimer, that I'm aware, as many of you are, of a book that has been extremely popular for a number of years called The Prayer of Jabez. It was an extremely number one bestseller in the Christian market, and it presents a daily prayer, this prayer, to be prayed every day, and the writer basically guarantees that this is a prayer that God must grant you and that He wants to bless you and He wants to prosper you, and these are all things that are good. And I am not here tonight to blast the book or the messenger. I am not here with a critical spirit. I'm here tonight to show you that there's more. I'm here tonight to take you into the Word of God and to say that there's, as the book was, when the book came out, it was not some new revelation. The prayer of Jabez has, of course, been in the Word of God since it was written. But it wasn't first noticed when the book came out a few years ago. People have talked about the prayer of Jabez for years and years and years. I read a devotional based on the prayer of Jabez many years ago, and I prayed the prayer. I thought, wow, this is a beautiful prayer. And I prayed the prayer, and it is a beautiful prayer because God wants to bless His people. And so there is nothing wrong with the prayer of Jabez, except that we don't take one passage of Scripture and build a doctrine or build a foundation upon it. And as time goes by and as you grow in your walk with God, you'll find that some things that fed you in one moment don't feed you later on. And you find that as you go and you take the whole counsel of the Word of God, and I'm already getting ahead of myself, as you take the whole counsel of the Word of God, you begin to have this kind of sinking feeling in your stomach when you really, really read the prayer of Jabez, because there's something that just doesn't sit right. There's something that's not complete. It's not all of the story. And so, I want us to look at it. Let's read it again. And let's take it step by step. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. Now, if you were to read the entire chapter, the chapter before, and even, I believe, chapter after, yes, we're dealing with chapter after chapter of genealogies. And in these genealogies, one person after another is named, and this one begot these children, and these begot these, and every now and then you'll get a little comment about somebody. So it is, it's significant that Jabez, in the middle of this flow, is suddenly singled out, and the Holy Spirit would record something about him. And I believe that there is something recorded about him because God wants to see more than what perhaps we've seen in our pop Christianity in the 21st century. So, in this passage of Scripture, it seems that he's favored by God. But what does it actually say about him? Let's take that, first of all, step by step. First thing that it says is that he was more honorable than all of his brothers. He was more honorable than all of his brothers. It doesn't say that he was more honorable because of his prayer. It simply says, before it ever records the prayer, that he was more honorable than all of his brothers. Now, you've got to understand, I'm not trying to paint Jabez as a horrible person, but we read the Word of God and we read it in the context of our society and the doctrines and the things that are being taught and what's popular in Christianity, and sometimes we don't bother to question what's there. Now, when it says that he was more honorable than his brothers, that doesn't tell us anything. You can have six scoundrels for brothers, and you can be a little bit better, and you're more honorable than your brothers. Amen? We don't compare ourselves to our brothers. Who do we compare ourselves with? We compare ourselves with Christ, and we always come up needy. Amen? We don't come before the Lord and say, "Well, Lord, I think I'm a little better than this person or that person." God has no part in that. We don't compare ourselves with flesh and blood. We compare ourselves against a holy and righteous God, and we always come up short and we fall on our faces, acknowledging our great need for Him. Well, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, whatever that means. In all of this language, this lineage, he stands out as being more honorable than his brothers. Perhaps, you know, he didn't do any blatantly wrong things. We're all prone to a sinful nature, but he was probably what we would call a good man. Good old boy, you know, and got along with everybody. Except, it says that his mother, the second thing, called his name Jabez. Now, all of you who are students of the Word, you know that in the Old Testament and in the Word of God, names are prophetic, they're important. And somewhat just like Jacob, whose name basically means schemer or deceiver, and God changed his name to Israel, he became a new man. And so the name is very significant. The name is very important. And so it says that his mother named him Pain. This is what this guy's name was. Pain. Or Sorrow Maker is another translation. Sorrow Maker. And it was because he caused her such pain in childbirth, and she prophetically stuck that name upon him, that this would be his lot in life. This man's name would be Pain. Now you've got to understand, you know, when Abraham went around confessing what he was, he was saying, I'm a father of a nation. His name means blessed of God and father of a nation and all of these things. And so as you speak your name, you're confessing what you are when it comes to Bible characters and in the Hebrew language. And so every time, I'm not trying to be funny, but every time this guy told his name, said what his name was, he's basically saying, "I'm a pain. My name is Pain, my name is Sorrow, my name is Sorrow Maker." Well, you know, when someone has a name like that, it also draws fire, doesn't it? If you name a boy Sue, he's going to have problems in school. And if you name a person Pain, they're going to have problems. And it's prophetic, and it even in the natural, it draws things. People will put that upon you if that's what you call yourself. And so his name means Pain. Because of this, it's highly likely that Jabez had a painful life, at least growing up. And there was much trouble in his life. The Third thing that I want you to see about Jabez is that he did know who God was. There's some good things in this prayer, and he knew who the Lord was, he knew who Jehovah was, and he called on the God of Israel. I don't know if his brothers called on the God of Israel. I don't know if his mother called on the God of Israel, but he called on the God of Israel. And he began to utter this prayer. And he asked for four things. He said, bless me. How many of you have ever asked God to bless you? Amen. We ask God to bless this congregation. It's not wrong to ask God to bless you. Praise God. What is the focus of your prayer life? That's the question. It's not wrong to ask God to bless you. Jacob wrestled with God all night with the angel of the Lord and said, I won't let you go until you bless me. And we'll come back and we'll touch on that in a few moments. Second thing he asked was that God would enlarge his territory. Now in the Old Testament economy, what that means is give me property. Give me land. And I only know of two ways that that land could be gotten in Israel. And that would have been, number one, to enlarge it through wealth, through making money and being able to buy it and purchase it. The other way would be to conquer and take it from someone else. I'm assuming that it is through wealth. It doesn't say anything about his character that he was a person. In fact, it says the opposite. He doesn't want to cause anyone pain, as we'll see. He wouldn't have gone out and taken land, stolen it from somebody. He asked God to enlarge his territory, to enlarge his coast, as one translation says. And so God expanded his borders. And so therefore God must have also given him wealth in order to do that. So he prospered financially and he was a person who accumulated and added and added and added. Third thing he asked was that God's hand would be with him. To me, this speaks of protection. To me, this speaks of God being with him, going with him, protecting him, and keeping him in that place that he has prayed for, in that life that he has prayed for. The fourth thing, and I actually said four, but there are five. The fourth thing is he said, and keep me from evil. Now, I'm going to skim over these because we're going to come back and read a different translation. Keep me from evil. Well, that's good, especially if you mean by that, keep me from committing evil. Keep me from evil. And then the fifth thing, that I may not cause pain. That I may not cause pain. Now, there are various translations as we look at the Hebrew in this. And one of the things I've done in this, as this thing just sort of stirred and didn't sit right with me, you know. And I'm like, God, what is it about this prayer? What is it about Jabez? And the popularity over the years of all of this thing. And so I went to the Amplified Version, and this last part says, and that you would keep me from evil so that it might not hurt me. Keep me from evil so that it might not hurt me, or it might not cause me pain. Now I want you to hear that's a big difference from keep me from evil that I might not cause pain. It's keep me from evil that it might not hurt me. Protect me from evil around me, that it might not hurt me, that it might not encroach upon me, and it might not cause me pain. And even that could be a good thing to pray sometime. I'm not saying that there's anything sinful or wrong in this prayer. It's not so much what Jabez prays, it's what he doesn't pray. It's not so much what he's asking for, it's what he's not asking for, as you're going to see. So while it is perhaps a noble-sounding prayer of faith in many ways, the end result, since verse 10 says that God granted his request, was, and I'll just summarize it this way, Jabez was blessed with land and possibly great wealth, with protection from God, and was, and I want you to remember this word, insulated, and was insulated from the harsh realities of an evil society all around him. He wasn't offended by anyone, he wasn't hurt by anyone, and he didn't hurt anyone else, and he didn't offend anyone else. Are you with me so far? He was in a place of protection, he was a place of great blessing, he was in a place of peace, he was in a place of comfort, he was in a place of getting along with everybody, and nobody hurt him, and he didn't hurt anybody. I'm sure that he had a great reputation in town, that, you know what, everybody gets along with Jabez. And look how God has blessed him. This actually could have been my prayer at one time in my life. Because what I wanted from God was to get along with everyone. And I didn't want to offend anyone, and I didn't want anyone offended with me. I didn't want anyone not to like me, and I didn't want to hurt anyone. And I just wanted, you know the old saying, why can't we just all get along? So I want to kind of retranslate this passage as though I were to come to the Lord and pray the prayer of Jabez today. And in order to do that, I have to share this with you, stuff you already know, but I want you to understand my context here. As a pastor, and this doesn't mean that I'm any different from you, but as a pastor, and that's the testimony that I can give, is I have had at times to sacrifice in many ways. I've been called upon by the Lord to sacrifice at times financially. I've been called upon by the Lord to give up territory in the natural. In fact, Jesus said, blessed are those who leave mother, father, houses, sister and brother, houses and land for the sake of the gospel. There has at times been pain. I've been hurt at times. Certainly God has increased my borders spiritually, but not always in the popular teaching of prosperity in the natural. And when God increases your borders spiritually, now we're jumping into a different realm, that doesn't come without pain. That doesn't come without sacrifice. That doesn't come with comfort. Experiencing pain at times myself, and at times, though this was never my motive, and it's never, should never be the motive of the man or woman who walks with God, at times I've caused others pain, not intentionally. But in following God, and in being true to God, my actions have hurt others in the sense that when people aren't walking with God, and when conflict begins to come, they don't understand because they're blinded. They don't understand that it's because they're not walking with God. And so, really, genuinely, sometimes they feel hurt. Some of you know there are people in your families that are totally lost. You don't mean to hurt them, but you won't compromise. You're going to follow God. You're asking God to increase your spiritual territory, and you're following hard after God. Well, people get hurt because they don't understand. And they want you to do things their way, and you can't do things their way. All you can do is follow after God. And so there have been people that I have been hurt by and had to give that to the Lord. And there have been people that I have unwillingly or unintentionally hurt. We never willingly inflict pain, but it comes. Jesus said in the end times that your enemies would be those of your own household. And He certainly spoke the truth in that. But following Christ can bring times of attack, times of difficulty, times of pain, times of hardship. And we all have a prayer of Jabez sometimes. We all have a prayer of Jabez sometimes, so I'm not pointing the finger. We all have the prayer, oh God, you know, give me a break. Bless me. Let me coast for a while. Bless me, Lord. I don't want to hurt anyone, and I don't want anyone to hurt me. So if I were to pray a prayer of Jabez today, and this would be a dangerous prayer, if I prayed it earnestly and seriously, this is what the prayer would be. And some of you know that, you know, we all sometimes, I've shared with various ones in here, I have to fight sometimes. Sometimes you have an escape mentality, and that's not from God, that's from the enemy. Because He's called us to stand in a time of battle. But your old flesh nature starts saying, da da da, dream of something else, you know. And so, following Christ means that we lay our will on the altar and we follow after Him. So here's what my prayer of Jabez would be if I were praying today like Jabez. I would say, Lord, man, sometimes this is painful. I'm tired of sacrifice. I'm ready for some wealth and some blessing and some prosperity, even in the natural, Lord. Enlarge my property, enlarge my territory, enlarge my wealth. Because you know, Lord, if I had more money, that would really solve everything. Put your hand upon me, Lord, and insulate me from the hard realities of discipleship and the hard realities of ministry. And keep all this evil junk away from me so that it won't hurt me and I won't hurt others because I'm tired of conflict. P.S. While you're at it, Lord, you could do this by first giving me my own private island. So there, that's the prayer of Jabez for me. In other words, Lord, remove me from difficulty and bless me with abundance. Remove me from pain and bless me, prosper me. Give me a comfortable place. Let me settle down. Let me serve You with my words Lord, keep me from anything beyond that. If I prayed that prayer and God answered, it would have serious ramifications for this ministry, this church. If you prayed that prayer and God answered, it would have serious ramifications for the calling that He has upon your life. Because you see, the Word of God gives us so many praying men and women. We're not allowed to take one prayer. In fact, Jesus cautioned us against praying something by rote over and over and over again, memorizing a formula, praying the same prayer day after day after day after day. He said, that's what the heathen do. Don't do that. We're not allowed to take one passage and build a prayer life or a doctrine or anything else upon it. We take the whole counsel of God. We forget that when Jacob wrestled with the Lord and said, bless me. Bless me, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. God blessed him. It was character that God was after. Who are you, Jacob? Well, my name is... Or who are you? What is your name? My name's Jacob. Cheater. God was just as much wrestling with Jacob as Jacob was with God. God was dealing with his character and he wanted to change him and change that character. And God did bless him, but God left him with a painful limp for the rest of his life. He limped with a pain in his thigh, in his hip. Moses, you don't realize this when you read the great moments of the parting of the Red Sea and things like this, but if you read all of Moses' life, Moses had a life of great pain and sorrow at many times. And yet there was such sacrificial love in Moses that when God was ready to turn His back or to wipe out every one of the Israelites, God said, Moses said, if you do it, then kill me. Take my life. If you're not going to go with us, take my life. Or else save all of Israel. Save us. You see, it's possible to ask for blessing and get what you ask. And it still not be the highest road that God has for you. Israel cried out for a king. God answered their prayer. It wasn't His best. God answered their prayer and gave them a king and said, however, with this king there's going to come a lot of grief. You wanted a king. I wanted to be your king, but you want a king like all the other nations? I'll give you a king. And He'll put taxes upon you and He'll enlist your men for war and all of these different things. There will be a price that will be paid because you wanted what you wanted and you prayed for it and you got it. Many times we mean well. There are many who mean well. There are many who pray this prayer, meaning where it says, enlarge my territory. There are many who pray it, meaning, Lord, spiritually, enlarge my ministry, enlarge my area of influence, enlarge the opportunities that there are for me to influence people for Your kingdom. And that's a good thing. And I think that it can be a very honorable desire. But see, Jabez, I think, was wanting to be shielded. Jabez, I think, was asking for prosperity, for wealth, for blessing that is measured by what you see and by what you can hold in your hand, and by shielding from everything that would hurt or cause conflict in his life. Rather than, God, let me be broken and spilled out. God, let me be used up for You. I know I have preached about this before, but every time I think about this part of this message, I think about, and you've already heard about it, but I think about those early Moravian missionaries. And I think about those that heard about that slave master who owned the island where all the slaves were sent and they worked there for the rest of their life and they could never get off of that island. And none of them knew the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think about those two Moravian missionaries who counted the cost and who said, God, we will go. They knew that the Lord was saying, go. And they sold themselves into slavery on that island, knowing that they would die on that island as slaves, but it would be the only way that those people would ever hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when they left on the ship and their loved ones stood on the shore thinking, you're crazy, you've lost your mind, what are you doing? And as the ship was moving out into the harbor and the people were disappearing in the distance, their cry was, may the Lamb receive. May the Lamb receive the reward of His suffering. Well, that's not found in Jabez's prayer. That's not what you find when you pray the prayer of Jabez. The prayer of Jabez is, bless me, shield me, insulate me, and protect me. The prayer of the New Testament believer is, mold me, bend me, bend me. Evan Roberts, who was used by God mightily in the great revival in Wales, found himself under the anointing of the Holy Ghost praying in church, praying, bend me, bend me, bend your church, bend your church, break me, bend your church, bend your people. And God honored his prayer. And a broken and spilled out people was the result, and God's Spirit moved in great power. Jabez is not one to be broken and spilled out. It's in the faithfulness and the brokenness God increases. That's why so many of us get caught up in our charismatic theology and we run from place to place and we want this blessing and that blessing and we want to experience and praise God that He gives us experiences, but we want to feel good and we want Him to manifest and we want to do all these things. And it's all, as Carter Conlon, I heard him preaching this past week, I didn't even plan to quote this, but it's all in-house. It's all in-house, and Pentecost went outside. That's all in-house. It's all bless me, bless me, bless me. Let's come get another fix, and let's go back out and live the same in the workplace as we have day in and day out. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Verses 15 and 16. Ananias is hearing the word of the Lord. Saul has just been converted on the road to Damascus. God is speaking to Ananias and telling him that he's going to go and he's going to lay hands on him and pray for him. In verse 15, Ananias says, or the word says, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.'" Do you see the contrast here? Do you see the difference? If you just take the prayer of Jabez and you make that your prayer, you'll see in a minute what the end result is. But this is not... this. If Saul had prayed the prayer of Jabez, if that had been his only concern, was bless me, protect me, enlarge my territory and keep me from harm and keep me from harming anyone else, he would have never been the vessel that God had prepared him to be. "I will show him how many things he will suffer for my name's sake." You know, we get so caught up in our word of faith that we don't think that we're supposed to ever suffer. I've heard people say that if Paul knew what we knew today, he wouldn't have suffered if he had known how to walk in faith. Truly, that's word of faith doctrine. This is an element that's missing in Jabez's prayer. You see, bless me is good. But if you say, Lord, enlarge my borders, and that by that you mean ministry, spiritual usefulness, that's good. But you must also be able to pray, "Not my will, but yours be done." You know, because of our understanding of, you know, God's desire to heal us and God's desire to do things for us, and we can find His will in the Word and we pray according to His will, and it's not always necessary to say, "Lord, not my will, but yours," because there are times that we know what His will is and we're supposed to believe that and have faith. This is what your Word says, God. Let it be done. And that's faith. But when it comes to our lives, when it comes to being broken and spilled out, when it comes to the unknowns, when it comes to being used by God, it's, "God, use me how you want to, not how I want to." It's, "God, bend me, bend me, bend me, and let me be broken and spilled out." Turn to Luke 22, verses 40 through 46. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that Jesus didn't pray the prayer of Jabez. Because we would be in bad, bad trouble. Jesus says to us, "If any man would be my disciple, let him count the cost, take up his cross daily, and follow me." I fear that we've lost this. Today it's take up your cross, and by that we mean wear it on a t-shirt or a bumper sticker and maybe endure some stares from somebody. Contrast this with Proverbs 30. This is another prayer of a man that didn't get much recognition. Proverbs 30, the prayer of Agur, 30 verses 7 through 9. It's almost the opposite of the prayer of Jabez. Jabez says, "Bless me, prosper me, enlarge my territory, enlarge my borders." Agur said, "Two things I request of you," verse 7, "deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of the Lord." He said, "Give me just what I need, Lord. Give me just enough to take care of me." You see, when we speak in the New Testament of prosperity, God does desire to prosper His people. But you know what prosperity is to the Lord? God delights, you won't like to hear this perhaps, or your flesh won't like to hear this, but God delights in keeping His people weak. He'll always give you, I call it abundance. He'll always give you what you need. He'll always satisfy your needs. He will always take care of what the provision that is needed for you. And some, by His own sovereignty, He will bless more than others. And you can pray for blessings if that's what you want. And God may pour out more material blessings upon you. But God takes a delight in keeping His people needy, keeping them weak, because it's in their weakness that His great strength is displayed. Turn to Matthew 25. Verses 25 through 34. And I think that I wrote the wrong scripture down. So just give me a minute. Well, I will tell you what it says. It's somewhere in that area, but I gave you the wrong scripture. It's actually, I believe, Matthew 6. Verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. Sorry. "Therefore I say to you..." See, we pick and choose. In pop Christianity, we take what looks like a neat revelation that's going to bless us. We pick and choose all the time. We're all guilty of it. I'm not pointing the finger. I've done it. You've done it. We've all done it. And we read the latest book, and it lifts up this thing. Well, this is what God's saying. And we read these things, and then we forget something else that Jesus said. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things that you need will be added unto you. Poor Jabez. And I don't mean this to be funny. Poor Jabez. When I realized what God was saying, that was my thought. Poor Jabez. He lived most likely a life cushioned from evil, comfortable in material wealth, and everyone thought well of him because he didn't hurt others and he wasn't offended at anyone either. Today's motto for this is live and let live. I doubt that he ever, and if you'll bear with me, I'm almost through, but I want you to contrast this with men and women of God. I doubt that he ever stuck his nose in anyone's business like Nathan the prophet when he stood before David and ran the risk of his life saying, "You are the man who has sinned." I doubt that he ever had to put up with a whining congregation like Moses did in the wilderness. I doubt that he ever called down fire from heaven bringing judgment upon false prophets like Elijah. He never got thrown into a dungeon like Joseph and therefore was never entrusted with great responsibility for others either. He never wrestled with God or anything. He just enjoyed the comfort of God's blessings. So he never got hurt by God, never had a limp like Jacob, never had a pain. See, he'd been called pain all of his life and he wanted relief from it. He never downsized. He never downsized and left his stuff behind and lived in fasting and prayer like Anna and Simeon in the temple. So he never had that great revelation of Christ that they had. What do you want? He never left his business, his property, like Peter, James, and John. So he was never used to heal the sick, cast out demons, bring light to those in darkness. He never would have been found traveling to remote areas like Paul and being stoned for the sake of the gospel because that would have hurt him. He would have never stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached to the crowd as Peter did, accusing them of crucifying the Lord of glory because it might have offended them and hurt their feelings. He never would have, like Gladys Aylward, left everything behind with only a dollar or two to her name and gone to China to be a servant of the Lord and to have such a great impact upon the people as she did. He would have never been like Adoniram Judson, suffering under the hand of his oppressors in Burma in order that the gospel might be translated into the lives, into the language of the Burmese people and still be their only translation today. He wouldn't be a Jim Elliot who would go into Ecuador to take the gospel to a tribe that's never, ever, ever heard it before and to be martyred for the sake of the Lord because it would have been painful. He wouldn't have gone into Egypt like Lillian Trasher and moved in and by faith built an orphanage that still exists today, 100-something years later, ministering to thousands of children, the first orphanage ever built in Egypt, built by an American woman, built entirely upon faith, at great cost and great hardship in her own life. Wouldn't have been like Cameron Townsend as he went down into Mexico and translated the Bible into the tribes, the individual tribes, the dialects of the people, the Indians that did not know the Lord. Wouldn't be like C.T. Studd, who was found in his dying days in the bush country of Africa with his only possessions were a cot and a lantern and had lived that way for years, but led thousands upon thousands to Jesus Christ. Poor Jabez. No risks. No pain. No sacrifice. Just the comforts of a cushiony faith that requires nothing. I would rather be like Peter. Listen closely. I mean this. God forbid that I would ever deny my Lord. But I would rather be like Peter who said, Lord, I'll follow You even to the death. And then fail at it. And deny Him and be restored. Than to be guilty of only wanting what Jabez wanted. There are times I've cried out to God and said, Lord, I didn't bargain for this. Times I've cried out to God and said, give me an island. Times I've cried out to God and said, you know, it's time for Jubilee, you know. But I wouldn't trade a single sacrifice, a single pain, a single sorrow for the honor. Or trade the honor of having served Jesus Christ. This is how we pray. Hallowed be Your name. Holy is Your name. May Your kingdom come here. May Your will be done here. Whatever it costs me. Whatever it takes, Lord. Break me. Bend me. Mold me. Let's stand. Every heart quietened before the Lord. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. God, there is no altar call tonight, no specific ministry, Lord God, that You've laid upon my heart, Lord God. Just that Your Word would reign supreme. Just that we would ingest it. Just that we would digest it. That we would feed upon it at the table. Holy Spirit, that You would convict us. Convict me, Lord God, for the idolatry, Lord, of desiring ease and comfort. Oh God, deliver me. Deliver us from prayers like Jabez, Lord God. Or at least, Lord, when we pray, bless me and give me and enlarge my coast because You care about every need we have. God, let us not leave out the other half. Bend me, mold me. Show me what I will suffer for Your name's sake if necessary. Where You will send me, what will You give me to do? What will the cost be? Let it be that I would say, nevertheless, not my will, Lord, but Yours be done. Lord, work it into our hearts. Do what it takes to raise up a generation. Raise up a people who really, truly know what it means to sacrifice. I just trust You, Lord, to minister this Word in an ongoing way by Your Spirit to the hearts of Your people as they sleep and as they work this week. Keep each one safe. Be the center of every home. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you.